once again for bringing us together. And thank God for each and everyone who are here. God bless you. And let's go to the word. We are on the series called The False God of the Debased Mind. And what we understood last from the last few sermons, that the battle for our soul, whether our soul will go to hell, the devil will be able to take the soul to hell, or whether we will go to heaven, depends on our mindset, depends on the mindset that we carry. And there are four mindset. I started off with the four mindset: the carnal mind, second is the spiritual mind, third is the anxious mind, and the fourth is the debased mind. So the God of the debased mind, the false God of the debased mind, is the devil. That is the last stage where believers don't want to go to. But there is a subtle doctrine that has come in the church that is leading believers to have a debased mind. And the reason why God had me start this sermon is because the Lord loves each and every one of you. And He wants no one to have a debased mind here in this place, or no one to ever in their lifetime go into a state of debased mind. Because I told you, the debased mind is a mind which God has given up to the devil. And I told you, what is giving up? What is giving up? That God was fighting a battle, but you were not cooperating. So God said, you are not cooperating, so I give you up. You know, that is what Jesus said to Peter. Peter, Satan wants to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that you may not fail. Satan wanted your soul. Hallelujah. So Satan fights. There is the courtroom of heaven. Yesterday, we were praying in the prayer meeting, and then I shared some revelations that I received from God about the courtroom in heaven. I will not share that here, but there is a courtroom in heaven. And there is Satan accusing the souls. There is Satan fighting with God to take souls to hell. He knows that his destination is the lake of fire, but he is very jealous of you, that he wants to drag you there. And we want to expose him in this series in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Okay, so we looked at a lot in the last few sermons in this series. But tonight I am going to continue with the carnal mind. Last time what I taught you is the carnal mind is the old mind. The mind that we had before coming to Christ. The way we operated, the things we learned, the lifestyle we were introduced to, the environment we were living in. The old mind. Apostle Paul was from the tribe of Benjamin. He said, I am of the Pharisees. I am of the stock of Benjamin, of Israel. I am a wonderful learner of the law. As per the law, I am blameless. I am righteous as per the law. But all those things that I learned, my old mind, I had to give it up in order that I may gain the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So the old mind, that when we come to Christ, like Moses, he had to give up his old mind. He had a strategy to deliver the people of Israel. What he started to do is he tried to kill Egypt's warrior. He killed an Egyptian and tried to show himself as a deliverer to God's people by his strength. Because the Bible says he was trained in the school of Egypt, in the wisdom of Egypt. But God could not use him with his old mind, with his old doctrine. Hallelujah. So God took him in the land of Midian, broke him completely. And then God appeared to him in the burning bush and told him, Moses, you cannot fight Egypt and Pharaoh with the strength of your body and the training you received in the school of Egypt. I will give you fresh revelation of how you will fight Pharaoh. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So when we come to God, we don't depend on our old mind, which is the carnal mind. So the carnal mind, I told you, is the old mind which we had before we came to Christ. Another thing that I told you is the carnal mind is based on the achievements of the flesh and worldly knowledge. Okay, the carnal mind is based on the achievements of the flesh. We need to humble ourselves. when we come to God, even if I have a doctorate or a PhD, I have to enroll myself through humility in the school of the Spirit, because what I learned in my college is not what God taught me. I have to admit myself in the school of the Spirit for the Lord Himself to train me. Hallelujah. For that, I have to let go of my pride that I have in my own knowledge and in my degrees. Are we understanding that? Carnal mind is based on the achievements of the flesh and worldly knowledge. It is based on that. Another thing that I discussed last time was carnal mind evaluates situations by the physical and worldly standards and not by spiritual understanding. Hallelujah. Carnal mind evaluates situations by the physical and worldly standards and not by spiritual understanding. For example, the servant of Elisha, he said, "Alas, my master, we will die because we are surrounded by the enemy." But Elisha knew that there was an army of the chariots of fire surrounding him. But he was thinking in his carnal mind, in his old mindset. Like the people of Israel, even though God told them, go and cross over the Jordan, get into the promised land. But they came to Moses in the book of Deuteronomy and told Moses, you know what? We don't want to enter God's promised land. Before that, we want to send spies. So they say, send spies. Even carnal mind thinks in a way that even when God tells you go, but you still sit back and evaluate. Aha, whether we will first evaluate how much money I have in my account, what is my investment, what is my wife saying. Like when God told Abraham, leave your country, leave your family, leave your property that you have acquired in Chaldean, in Babylon, and come and follow me to a foreign place. He did not go and tell to Sarah, honey, I heard this from God, whether we should do it or not, or whether we should evaluate the conditions first or take assurances and guarantee. Are we understanding? So the carnal mind does not walk in faith. The carnal mind, even when God gives you a go ahead, but you will still sit back and say, oh, whether we should do it or not. But God has told you, go. Do it. You step in faith. You step out in faith in the assignments God has given you. Like Gideon, the angel of God came and told Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor. What did Gideon say? My tribe is the least among the tribes of Israel. Then my family is the least among the families in the tribe. Then I am the least in my family. What are you talking? So even though God was telling him, go and fight for Israel, he is still evaluating his condition, sitting back. So the carnal mind, are we understanding? Because that was his mindset. If you are not able to move ahead with God, sometimes it's not demons, it's your mindset. It's your mindset is responsible for your stagnation. My mindset is responsible for my delay sometimes. It's the mindset. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. Then, carnal mind is enmity. We will come to that. We will come to that. Okay. Where I ended last time was the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind. People of God, are you there? Apart from those on the screen, can you say the subconscious mind? The subconscious mind.
Subconscious mind.
Okay. The subconscious mind is a part of the carnal mind. Now, the word that I am using, the subconscious mind, is a scientific word. It's not in the Bible. But I have come to realize when I was meditating and preparing for the message, and what I came to understand is the subconscious mind. I had been trying to understand my own mind. I had been trying to evaluate why I think certain things, like the way I think. I was trying to evaluate why I get certain dreams that I should not get. I was trying to evaluate why I sometimes think in a certain way. Think, not act on it, but thoughts come to my mind in a certain way. That is not the real me. That is not the Rahul that is in Christ. I try to evaluate. And then what I understood is there is a part of my mind which receives things without my will. There is a part which is called the subconscious mind. Are we understanding? So the subconscious mind is the part of a carnal mind. Now it will receive things without your will. Maybe you are a good Christian. You are a God-fearing woman or a God-fearing man. But sometimes when you are watching TV, and it's a good channel, but sometimes the advertisement that comes in between, a half-naked woman is dancing, but you see it. And what is happening is, without your will, the subconscious mind is storing up pictures. Without your will. Without your will, the subconscious mind is storing up sometimes feelings of the flesh, that you look at something and you feel, and it is storing up those feelings without your knowledge. Without your knowledge, sometimes you are not listening to a music, but you are going somewhere, someone else is playing that loud music, but your ears are listening to it. So without your will, the subconscious mind stores those things in it. Are you understanding? And when, listen to me very carefully, when sometimes the Christian life is up and down, up and down. You are in the spirit most of the time. Maybe 2 weeks, you are in the flesh. Then for 2 days, you heard a message and you were in the spirit. And again, you go in the flesh. So the times you are in the flesh, the subconscious mind releases unwanted information in your thoughts when you are in the flesh. It is a part of carnal mind. What is the carnal mind? The fleshy mind. Have you got dreams sometimes that you never thought about? Never thought about. You don't know, things which have entered without your will in your subconscious mind are producing those dreams. And the reason it is producing those dreams is because you are living in the flesh. Vague thoughts come when you are living in the flesh. What it is coming from a gate which is not controlled by the will, which is called subconscious mind. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? Now, there are two kinds of spirit storage units. The subconscious mind or the carnal mind stores the things of the flesh, which are and the sins that are lust and gluttony and hatred, all those stuff. The things of the flesh, the lust and everything is stored in the subconscious mind. You know what? In that unit. But the storage unit that stores the word of God is the spiritual mind. That is called your spirit man, the spiritual mind. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. The Bible says in the book of Thessalonians that a man is made up of body, soul, and spirit. Body is flesh, spirit is the spirit of God, and the soul consists of the ingredient called mind. Okay? The soul consists of the ingredient called mind. And then now I am teaching you that mind. Teaching you the carnal mind now. The soul consists of that ingredient called mind. So what the soul is doing is, the soul is the neutral part. The body is completely fleshy. It has sin in it. That's why Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter number 7, how can I be done away with this body? There is sin that dwells in my flesh. And the spirit is completely pure that you have received from God. The only neutral part is your soul that consists the mind. So the mind is the neutral part. So the mind can be either influenced by the flesh or it can be influenced by the spirit, the spirit of God. So the mind, the part of the mind that is influenced by the flesh, stores up sin and lustful thoughts and vague thoughts. And the part of the mind, which is called the spiritual mind, which is influenced by the spirit, stores up the word of God, stores up the dreams that are received from God, stores up the revelation that are given by God, stores up things that are praiseworthy. Are we understanding? There are two storage units. And then we come there, from there to the carnal mind, and the spiritual mind that Romans chapter number 8 talks about. So the carnal mind is the storage unit. The spiritual mind is another storage unit. You read the Bible, or you heard a sermon tonight, Sunday night. Pastor Rahul gave you a sermon. You heard the sermon Sunday night. Monday night, if I come and ask you, what did you hear last Sunday night? I don't remember. I forgot. You forgot about it so quickly. Or let's say you were reading a chapter from the Bible and you forgot what you read. You did not even memorize verses. You forgot about it. But let's say someone watched a pornographic movie, a pornographic picture. A pornographic picture. Someone watched it. And even if you ask that person after 2 years, he remembers those imaginations because his flesh was strong. So the storage, so that's why a person cannot remember the Bible, but he can remember lustful thoughts. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? My God, I was in the church and then they ordained me as a leader in that church. So I was taking small house groups. Then the way I am is the way I am. I'm not hard individually on people, but kind of when it comes to the Bible and the truth of the Word of God, I am a little bit strict. Strict in the sense, I will make sure that you don't say lies about the Bible. In that context, I am strict. So there was a guy in the church, this young guy, maybe 2 years, 3 years elder than me. They were a family. There was a sister and this guy, brother, sister, sibling. They used to come to the house group. Now, this guy works in a multinational company, earns a lot of money. Even the sister works in a multinational company. They work there. They earn a lot of money. But when I tell them, open the book of Micah, they go in the New Testament to open the book of Micah. They don't even know that Micah is in the Old Testament. And they are Christians from around 20 years, coming to the church, carrying a Bible. But they don't even remember that Micah is in the Old Testament. So I said, what's wrong with you guys? One day I spoke with them. I said, what's wrong with you? When you tell them, go to the book of Revelation, we know it's the last book. They go to the first page to see for Revelation. I said, what's wrong with you? And the person told me, oh, Brother Rahul, we are not like you. I mean, you don't have to be like me. It's a simple Bible. If you are a graduate and you are working in a company, you should understand as per at least the basics of the Bible. What's wrong with you? I don't understand. No, you know what? The studies are okay. We can study. But when it comes to the Bible, we don't remember anything. That's what they told me. We can't remember. That's the problem. At least do you spend time reading? No, we can't remember the Bible. So we are least interested to even memorize books of the Bible or read scriptures in the Bible. We are least interested. Why is that? I am telling you, that's the reality. There was this brother and sister there who told me this thing. The problem with them is they were too much in their flesh and not in the spirit. Hallelujah. If you are too much in the flesh, you can't even remember one sermon that you heard in your lifetime. You can't even remember scriptures, because to remember scriptures, you require to walk in the spirit. To remember the Bible, not like a theologian, I'm not saying that, but to remember the Bible in context of walking in the Word of God. You need to walk in the spirit. You need to crucify your flesh. Are we understanding the danger of not remembering your dreams? You know, you see many dreams, but you don't remember your dreams. What is the reason? Because you need to check your life. Are you living in the flesh or are you living in the spirit? Hallelujah. Because when we receive something from the realms of the spirit, it has to be stored in the spirit memory. It will not be stored in the carnal mind. It has to be stored in the spiritual mind. The carnal mind, the spiritual mind are storage units. Hallelujah. I think people are Hallelujah. Are you there tonight, people of God? Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. The carnal mind. Okay. The carnal mind and the spiritual mind. These are storage units. If you are too busy in the flesh, you cannot remember the things of the spirit. Yes. I evaluate my life if I am not able to remember dreams. That means I am living in the flesh. Things are coming to me in the night, but I don't remember them. Many times I get up, things that I don't remember. What I do is I come out of the flesh, get into the spirit, pray in tongues, till the time I am in the spirit. When I come in the spirit, suddenly the things, the dream that I did not remember, it flashes in front of my memory. What happened? Because I got access to the spiritual mind. I came into the spiritual mind. Either a believer operates by the carnal mind or the believer operates by the spiritual mind. Are we understanding that? Hallelujah. If you operate by the carnal mind, the devil will use you to build up a legacy of sinister generation. If you operate by the spiritual mind and understand the teaching ministry is not only to be like a teacher, but to be a teacher to your children and to the next generation, you will create a legacy of a spiritual generation of Elijah's, of Isaiah's, of Jeremiah's, of apostles and prophets. If you operate through a spiritual mind, because your mindset is to do with the legacy God wants you to create. God wants his children to create a legacy. Hallelujah. Everyone say, God wants me to create a legacy. Everyone say that God wants
me to create a legacy.
Hallelujah. The measure of your success is not evaluated by how successful you were in your ministry during your lifetime. But the measure of your success in the kingdom of God is evaluated by whether after you passed away, whether you left a legacy, whether you left footprints for others to follow, whether you left the teachings that came out of your mouth for others to walk in it, and for others through those speakings to know God and to encounter Jesus Christ. Every person in the Bible created a legacy who were used by God. That is how I measure success in ministry. Hallelujah. There was recently a pastor in the US. It was shocking to me. I listened to that pastor. I never thought he will do so. He was terminated from his pastoral ministry because I think of immorality. So he was a great preacher. He was a great teacher. And many of the pastors were great preachers, teachers. They have built a mega church. They have gone to mission work. They have built churches in different nations. But what happens is, in the middle or by the end, they fall. So because they fall, when they pass from this life to another life, they were not able to create a legacy. And that is what the enemy wants. But God wants us to live, to create a legacy. He said, Abraham, I have chosen you to be what? To be a father of many nations. That in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. In your seed. So I want to create a legacy through you. When Isaac was born, God wanted him to continue the legacy. When Jacob was born, God wanted him to continue the legacy. The 12 children became the 12 tribes of Israel. There was a legacy to follow. In the New Testament, it's the spirit legacy. It's not the bloodline, but it's the spirit line. Hallelujah. Like Apostle Paul did not have any physical or biological children, but what he gave birth to was a spiritual legacy. Timothy was one of his co-workers. That is a product of his spiritual legacy. That is what not only servants of God, but every person sitting here, God wants you to create a legacy. And that is in connection to the mindset you carry. That is the in connection to the teachings, to the utterances that come through your life and to the way you live your life. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? Let me take you to Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, verse number 1. Let's open the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, before we go to Ecclesiastes, you will be able to create a legacy when you will be serious with God in your younger days. Hallelujah. Because the things that shape your mind are during your younger days. And the way your mind is, orchestrated in your younger days, most probably, or almost 99.99%, that is the mindset you will carry for the rest of your life. For the rest of your life, 99.99%. Do you know the advertisement of the iPhone 16 came up, and some people are so mad to buy the iPhone 16, but it looks no different. It looks no different than the previous iPhones, but still people will buy it. The iPhone or even the Android, the phones, the computers, the hot selling product. Do you know how they, what is their marketing strategy? They study the generation that is aging between 16 to 35. That class of generation. They understand what they like. They understand what they need. They understand what is trending among them. And then as per their preferences, this younger generation, as per their preferences, they create their product. Because if they are able to sell this product and the 21-year-old man or the 25-year-old man will start using their product, accepting their mindset starts to be programmed through their product, there are high chances that for the rest of their life, they will cling to that kind of product. Have you seen your grandmothers never using phones to listen to music, but they stick to the radio? They prefer to the radio. Hallelujah. They will never stick to Spotify for sermons, but they will see the radio channels that on which the preachers come. They are 75, 80, 85 years old. They prefer those things. Why? Because when they were 25, that is the doctrine they were introduced to. So they adapted it, so the rest of their life went in the same direction. And that's why I am bringing you to Ecclesiastes, chapter number 12. Listen to that. Now, old people about 35, 40, don't get discouraged. I'm teaching you something. Listen, just listen to me. Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, verse number 1. Let's see that. Let's go there. Chapter number 12, verse number 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember your Creator, what? In the days of your youth. So, a man who gives his younger days to the training school of the Spirit of God, almost the devil cannot take him out for the rest of his years. A man who gives himself in his younger days. That's why I'm teaching you older people, because you need to create a legacy of a younger generation. Maybe you missed the plan of God and God had mercy on you. And in your old age, you came to God. But what you need to understand is you are chosen for a younger generation to shape their mindset through your life. Hallelujah. Are you understanding? Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Why? Because those years of a young person is very crucial. What we see in our time and season is the devil has got into the school. The devil has got into the subjects that the school teaches. The devil has got into the subjects that the college is teaching to the teenagers. Yes, he is changing the books. He is changing the doctrine. Why? Because he knows if he is able to introduce a demonic doctrine to the younger generation, he is able to shape them for the rest of his life. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. So God, I am telling you, I will come to the scripture. God is very particular for us to be teachers to the younger generation. I'm not saying go and start to teach them. No, you don't do this, don't do that. But first of all, come in the spiritual mindset. And then there will come a time where you don't even have to teach people. People will understand the doctrine you want to release to them through the way of life. Hallelujah. Stay with me. Remember your Creator, what? In the days of your youth, before the difficult days come. Hallelujah. So what I am saying is, if a person gives himself completely to the Lord in the days of his youth, it is impossible. It is impossible for the devil to take him out in his older days. Because the person has been introduced to a doctrine that will shape his whole life journey. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter number 22, verse number 6. Let's go there. Proverbs chapter number 22, verse number 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You see that teaching? Train up a child in the way he should go when a child is young. And then when he grows up, he will not depart from that doctrine. Because the doctrine that is introduced to a person in his younger days, that is the doctrine most probably the person will walk in. That is the mindset the person will walk in for his whole life. Hallelujah. What we need to pray? We need to pray that more and more younger people will admit themselves in the school of the Spirit. God will bring them in the school of the Spirit so that we are able to raise up a generation. What did God say to Elijah? Elijah said, God, you know what? All the prophets are killed. Only I am remaining of all the prophets. God told Elijah, take oil and anoint a prophetic generation. Anoint Elisha in your place. Anoint Hazael as the king of Syria. And anoint Jehu. Hallelujah. So Elijah is there crying. You know what? Lord, my ministry is over. I am only left. But God is asking Elijah to anoint the next generation. That is what we are called to do. That is what we are called to do. We are called to create a legacy. Train up a child. It's not only for parents, but it's also for me. Train up people in the way they should go so that when they grow up, when they move ahead in life, they will not depart from it. Train them. Equip them. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn with me to Joshua chapter number 4. God is interested to teach the next generation. Joshua chapter number 4, verse number 6. Joshua chapter number 4, verse number 6. That this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. So God is saying to Joshua, when the children born to you ask, what is this stones that are set up, an altar? You should say to them that this is the sign, this is the altar, this is the monument that signifies that when we crossed over Jordan, God cut off the waters and we crossed on dry land. What does that mean? God wants us to teach the younger generation how to build up altars. And God wants us to share with them the mighty works of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is what God wants us to do. That is what God wants us to do. Because God was telling Joshua to teach the younger generation. Because if there is not a teaching ministry to the next generation, if there is not a legacy that is, or a baton that is passed on to the next generation, how will the legacy of God's kingdom continue? Hallelujah. Many of us are selfish. Oh, God should only use me. I will complete my ministry and go. No, no, no. God has chosen you because he is interested to create a legacy out of you. To create a spirit legacy out of you. Hallelujah. Let's go to Joel chapter number 1, verse number 1 to 3. Joel chapter number 1. Verse number 1 to 3. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, you elders, and give ear, all of you inhabitants, all you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days or even in the days of your fathers? Tell your children about it. Let your children tell their children and their children another generation. Hallelujah. It says, tell your children about it. Let your children tell their children and their children another generation. Christians have forgotten that you need to create a legacy. Christians have forgotten that children are just not born to you so that you can say, oh, cutie pie, how cute you are. No, 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 no. They are given to you because you need to create a legacy. The Bible says, tell your children so they can tell their children and they can tell their children. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, every person sitting here, may a legacy be born out of your womb in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Are you seeing the importance?
Amen.
Are you seeing the importance? Even people who are not married, like I have a call in respect, but I don't have children, biological children, but I am supposed to create a legacy. The reason we read David, because he created a legacy. And that's why we refer to his songs even until now. We refer to the writings of scripture by this apostle Paul, because their writings cannot diminish in some season. Even worshipers who write songs, ask Holy Spirit to give you songs that will be heard by generations after generations after generations. I mean, it's not the amount of production that you give, but it's about the quality that you bring out from the Spirit of God. Are we understanding? I mean, in India, the worship community has been producing songs every day. But today we sing the song, tomorrow it is forgotten. And those songs are fantastic. I mean, fantastic music, good lyrics, but there is no legacy in it. There needs to be the anointing that has been passed on to generations after generation. Tell your children, let your children tell their children, let your children tell their children. So God is interested. God is interested in your bloodline. God is interested in your bloodline. God is interested in your bloodline. Hallelujah. Jesus was born through a specific bloodline. Jesus was born not through anyone else, but he was born through the seed that was given to Abraham in Isaac. My seed, the son was called, and he was signifying the seed of the Spirit. He was called after a specific generation. So that is what, and how will the generation be created? When you understand mindset, when you understand how to introduce the generation to mindset, when you yourself understand that you need to have a spiritual mindset. Hallelujah. Amen. Christians are asking for babies, but I have seen in the past few years, many of the Christian couples stopped having babies. Many of them are praying because Christians have to repent that we are not understanding why God gives us children. We are not understanding why God gives us children. He is giving us children to create a legacy of the Spirit. Hallelujah. That we ourselves disconnect ourselves from the spirit of iniquity that came from our father and the forefathers and our mother's line. And then we become the spirit children that are giving birth to a legacy of another generation that will serve God. Joshua said, me and my family will serve God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is possible. It is possible when you yourself put yourself in that shoes, in that training school of the Lord, for God to train up your mind. Okay, are we understanding? So this is what I have written. Let me tell that again. More than to be successful in your own life for God, the Lord wants you to pass on the baton and form a legacy. Yes. And then both God and Satan are interested in the bloodlines and in the generations. Hallelujah. Satan is interested in bloodline. I have already taught that sermon. When Satan was instigating Cain to murder, he was not only interested to take Cain's soul, but what he was interested is to create and get into the bloodline of Cain and create a demonic legacy. Then I spoke about the demonic legacy. I'm telling you, sins like murdering someone, sins like adultery, like married people, you leave your wife, you go with some other woman while you are married. Adultery, those sins, Satan is instigating you to do because he wants to get in your bloodline. He wants to create a demonic legacy through you. Hallelujah. But we are exposing him tonight in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Are we understanding the legacy that Satan wants to create and the legacy that God wants to create? Okay, hallelujah. Coming back to the war between the flesh and the spirit. The war between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. The war between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. The carnal mind is the storage of fleshy things. The spiritual mind is the storage of God's word. I told you that. Okay. Now, there is a war for every Christian between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. What propagates the carnal mind is the law. Write it down. The law. The law of Moses, as per the scriptures. What propagates the spiritual mind is the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit. So we are not bound by the law, but we are led by the Spirit. Okay? How to operate in the spiritual mind is when you will understand the law of the Spirit. You will operate in the spiritual mind when you understand the law of the Spirit. Stop that. I don't want to confuse you. I want to simplify things. So I want to take you to the scripture now. Open with me. Romans chapter number 7. Do you guys remember what is Romans chapter number 8 about? We read it a lot. Romans chapter number 8 is about the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. But we have to understand that we get into Romans chapter number 8 after we read Romans chapter number 7. So Romans chapter number 7 takes us into the revelation of Romans chapter number 8. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go to Romans chapter number 7. Romans chapter number 7. And then we will not start from the beginning. We'll start midway. We will start from verse number 5. Okay, Romans chapter number 7. Understand that. Romans chapter number 8 is the carnal mind. You remember Romans chapter number 8 says the carnal mind is enmity with God, is death, and the spiritual mind is life and peace. Romans chapter number 7 is the leading revelation where we have to go through that into Romans chapter number 8 to understand the war. So starting from Romans chapter number 7, verse number 5. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should not serve in the so that we should serve in the newness of the spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. I will explain those stuff to you. Okay, stay with me. He is saying the law is propagating sin and the carnal, the flesh, the carnal mind. And what he is saying, we got to live in the newness of the spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Many believers operate in the carnal mind because they live by the oldness of the letter. That means they take the Bible and read the Bible as a rule book, as a law of Moses, and don't understand that the life that comes from the Bible is given through the Holy Spirit. So the Bible will be impossible to be interpreted apart from the Holy Spirit. There needs to be the Holy Spirit. I am telling you, Christians who do not believe in the Holy Spirit are not Christians. That is where the distinction, stay with me, between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind comes. Stay with me. Verse number 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law said, you shall not covet. Hallelujah. Now, I like Romans 7 and 8, and I like the revelation that Apostle Paul got. He is so nicely and thoroughly describing the differentiation between the law of Moses and the Spirit and the Holy Spirit. He is saying, what is the law? The law tells me what is sin. So I can say the law gives me the knowledge of sin. Write it down. The law gives you the knowledge of sin. That is also what I said is in the scripture. Open with me Romans chapter number 3, verse number 20. Someone read that, either Sister K or Sister Vetonia. Read Romans chapter number 3, verse 20 for me, 2-0. Romans chapter. Yes.
Just lost it. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin.
Okay. You saw that in the scripture? The law gives you the knowledge of sin. How do you know that you are sinning? Because the law says, do not covet, but you are coveting. So you know you are sinning. So the law is the knowledge of sin. Now let me explain you what is the difference between the law and the spirit. The law is like a doctor who is telling you, okay, you have cancer, but he will not treat you. I can only tell you that you have cancer, but I cannot treat you. I cannot cure you. That is the law. So the more you hear the law, the more you get into the law, the more sin will be gratified in you. Because the more it will tell you, you are an adulterer, you are a covetous man. It will tell you, you are a murderer. It will tell you, you are a thief. It will keep on telling you this and that. You are a smuggler, you are a drug addict. You are a poor person, you are poor, you are a sinner. You are a sinner. It will tell you sin. And the more you listen and abide by the law, and if there is no spirit in it, the more it will gratify sin in you. That's why the Pharisees had that mindset. Oh, Jesus, this adulterous woman has committed adultery. The law of Moses says we have to stone this woman to death. She is an adulteress. The law. Then, now listen to me. When you operate in the law, you become a Christian that always looks at the negative and the bad in other people and condemns them. That is the way you are. And on top of that, while you are condemning others, you yourself are also taking part in the same sin. Because the sin that you are condemning others for, you are yourself also falling into the same sin. So Jesus said to them, okay, the one who has not ever sinned, let him cast the first stone. And from the elderly to the younger ones, one by one, they threw the stones, went away. That is what the law does. Are you understanding? The law is the knowledge of sin. So it will keep on telling you, this is sin, this is sin, this is sin. But it will never, ever bring you out of sin. It will never, ever teach you how to overcome sin. That is the law. That is the carnal mind. Some believers, Christians, operate in that carnal mind. And they think they are spiritual because they are able to point out sins in others, condemn others. Pastors do that. Have you seen such people? Yes. They condemn others. But when they themselves are responsible for the same sins that they are pointing out in other people, like the Pharisees. So that is what, are we understanding that letter now? Romans chapter number 7. Many scholars, Bible commentators interpret it, but I am teaching you the meaning of it, what Apostle Paul is saying there. It's very important. So that is what Apostle Paul is trying to say to the church. He's giving a revelation that is very deep. He's talking about the newness of the spirit and the oldness of the letter. He says, verse number 7. Let's continue now. After we have heard this, let's continue in the scripture. Verse number 7. Hallelujah. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin. I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it killed me. When he says the commandment, he's talking about the law of Moses. Okay? Have you, now let me talk about reality. Have you seen some Christian believers more grumpy and arrogant than the unbelievers? Have you seen them? No, that is the explanation Paul is giving. I have witnessed some Christian believers more so arrogant, so grumpy, so filled with hatred, worse than an unbeliever. Why? Because when they took the word of God as a law, and when that is what Apostle Paul is saying, when he took it as a law, sin took opportunity and produced all manner of more evil desires. So he became more evil when he took the Bible as a law rather than by the Spirit, but he took it as a law. This is a very deep teaching he is giving to the church that we need to understand. Hallelujah. So Christians, when they come to Christ, they become more judging, more arrogant, more, because what they are doing is they are taking this thing, the Bible, as a law, and they are living by the law rather than to be living by the Spirit of God, to be led by the Spirit of God. Stay with me. Okay. So he's saying, if I did not know the law, sin was dead. I did not even judge others that they were sinners. But when I came to know the law, it made me more judgmental. It made me more evil when I come to know the law. That's why the Bible says knowledge puffs up. The knowledge that is lawish, that is fleshy, that puffs up. You think you know the Bible and you can judge others, all those stuff. Oh, you! Why did you do this? You are sinning against some pastors even condemn their congregation members publicly for small reasons. For small reason, they are condemning. Some pastors can't even take that someone is, you know, can't even handle their posture or their mind when they are preaching from the pulpit. They lose their temper. They lose their anger. They become so angry. Why? Because there is a part of the law that is ruling them. They are not led by the Spirit. Okay, stay with me, stay with me. So he's saying, when I knew the commandment, verse number 8, it created, produced all manner of evil desire. Verse number 9, I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate to do, that I do. Stay with me. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. If I then do what I will not to do, I agree with the law, it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. So what, let me simplify it to teach it now. So let me simplify that. What he is saying, what I want to do, that means I read the Bible, I want to do what is in the Bible, but I am not able to do that. What I don't want to do, that I do. So from that, I understand that in my flesh, there is nothing good dwelling. So what he is saying, what he wants to do, he cannot do it. What he does not want to do, he does it, even after reading the Bible. So he is saying there is a gap that needs to be filled. We need the Holy Spirit. Are you understanding? That is the simplest way I can teach you that. I need the Holy Spirit, that he will do it through me. That's the difference between the law and the Spirit. That we try to read the Bible and try to do it by ourselves, but whatever we try to do, we are never able to do it. But the opposite we do, because we are trying to do it. So what Sister K was saying even after my last sermon, that if you are not crucified to your own will to follow the Spirit of God, you cannot walk in the Bible words. That is the gap he is trying to make people of God discover through that letter. Hallelujah. I know it's confusing. What I want to do, I do not do it. Then you, oh my God, what is he speaking? But I just want to simplify it to you. Are you understanding that? Is that clear now? Hallelujah. Okay. That is the gap. That is the gap. He's saying, I am reading the scripture. I am reading the commandment. I am not saying the commandment is unholy. The commandment is holy. But the more I read the commandment and I want to do it, but I find myself not doing it. I can't do it. And then what the gap, because why he's not able to do it? Because he's trying to follow the Bible in the flesh, in his own strength. He cannot do it. He needs a person. He needs the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit will come, when he will crucify the own will and say, Holy Spirit, I stretch my hands, gird me and take me, and take me in the ways of God. I don't have my own will. I don't want to be known as a man who knows the Bible. Nothing like that. I just crucify my own pride, arrogance, my will, the thing that I am an apostle, the thing that I am a Pharisee of the Pharisee, the thing that I know the law, I am the best student under Gamaliel. I want to give those things up. I am nothing. Help me, Holy Spirit. That is the difference between the law and the Spirit. So many believers know the Bible, but they operate in the carnal mind. Why? Because they try to walk in the Bible by their own strength. They don't regard the help of the Holy Spirit. They don't regard crucifying themselves. When you read the Bible is supposed to produce conviction where you say, I deny my own will. I crucify my own will to follow the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. People of God, understanding. Can we have an amen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. Okay. Stay with me. There is a lot to say now, teach you from that. So, verse number 18, he says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find." I'm reading, I know what to do, but I'm how to do it, I don't know how to do it. "For the good that I will to do, I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me." There is something in me that makes me do that. That's the flesh, that's the carnal mind. Even after reading my Bible, I do it. That's my carnal mind. Okay? "I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind." Underline that scripture. Another law in my members, that means flesh. What that law is doing? Warring against the law of my mind. What mind? Spiritual mind. It's fighting against that law. "Another law in my flesh members, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my member. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Now starts Romans chapter number 8. Do you see that, how Romans chapter number 8 is introduced? The carnal mind and the spiritual mind. So for you to understand the carnal mind and the spiritual mind, the war, you have to understand the revelation of Romans 7. Only then you will be able to understand carnal mind and spiritual mind. So the last scripture that he writes in 7, chapter number 7, that is, that with my mind, he's talking about the spiritual mind. I serve the law of God. We will see what is the law of God that will activate your spiritual mind. Okay, we'll see that. "But with the flesh, I serve the law of" what? "Sin." So there are two laws working in us, every believer, me, even me. There is the law of God through which I can serve God with my spiritual mind, but with my flesh I can serve sin. That the law of sin. Even after reading my Bible, I can serve sin. Are we understanding? That's why you see preachers, awesome preachers. I mean, their sermons have blessed me. Their sermons have blessed you. But you will see them falling down because they prefer to scrap their spiritual mind and serve the law of sin with their carnal mind. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. Now, I will start Romans chapter number 8, verse number 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Now he comes to fill the gap that he created in Romans 7, that I'm not able to do it. I'm not able to do it. Now he fills the gap saying, the one led by the Spirit and not as per the flesh. Verse number 2, what is the law of God? This is the law of God. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." That is powerful. Verse number 2. What is the law of Spirit? The law of the Spirit is the law of the Spirit is living a life in Christ Jesus, living a life in the Holy Spirit, rather than being outside of Christ Jesus and reading the Bible and trying to follow it. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding it? Hallelujah. Living a life that is lived in Christ. The law of God is the law of the Spirit of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit. What the Holy Spirit tells us to do is he leads us to live in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. that for what the law could not do it, do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So I read a scripture, what do? I will try to fulfill it. No. Lord, I read the scripture. Like I read, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication. Put your request before God with thanksgiving. So I read that scripture, for example, practically. And I say, I don't want to be anxious for nothing. I don't want to be anxious for nothing because the scripture says it. And I will see myself becoming anxious. The way I have to say it, Lord, I am so proud. Yesterday, what I did is, without hearing you, I went anxiously to get that job. I did not even hear you. So I am anxious because I follow my own will. I crucify my own will. I just want to put my hand into stuff that you want me to put my hand into. So I crucify my will, Lord. I pray that I should not be anxious. So I am, when I surrender myself, crucify my own will, only then I will be able to walk in the word. When I crucify my own will, the carnal mind, and say, Lord, I have ideas, but I don't want to walk in it, but I surrender to you, Holy Spirit. I submit to you, Holy Spirit. I submit to you, Lord. I don't want to, God will say, okay, go to interview in that job. But I don't want to go there. But God says, go there. Okay, I will deny myself and go there. You are walking in the Spirit and you are fulfilling the law. You are fulfilling in the law by the newness of the Spirit and not by the oldness of the letter. Hallelujah. I pray that people understand this, what I am teaching tonight, the difference between the carnal mind. A believer can be reading the Bible, going to church, but still operating in carnal mind because he has not understood the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus. That you are living in Christ Jesus. You exist in him. You move in him. You have your being in him. Hallelujah. You have a relationship with him. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? Okay. Let me continue. Afterwards, this topic of the war between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. Let me stop here. And then we will continue Romans chapter number 8. And then we will look at many other things in the war between the spiritual mind and the carnal mind. Okay? Hallelujah. Let us stop here. The only thing that God wants you to, you can study, you can fast, but if you don't crucify your own will and surrender to God, that's simple. That's a simple commandment. He said, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny his will. Take up his cross daily and follow me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can be a scholar in the Bible. I can know the Bible. I can quote the scripture. But if I have not denied myself and surrendered to the Lord, I'm going nowhere. I'm still operating in the carnal mind, even after knowing the Bible. Hallelujah. Because I am walking by the law of sin, by the law that Apostle Paul was talking about, which is the knowledge of sin. Oh God, I ask you tonight, Lord, even as we, Lord, come in the subject of the mind, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, that you will help us, Lord, that we will crucify our flesh, destroying the hold of the carnal mind over our life, which is also the old mind, and which is also, now we came to know, the mind that is being governed by the law. Oh, Father, and many of us are deceived to think, we know the Bible, we are judging by the Bible, but we are not surrendering to the Holy Spirit. Father, tonight I ask you that we will not walk in the oldness of the letter, but in the newness of the Spirit in Jesus' name. And then when we go ahead in the next sermons, Lord, the Bible says, Lord, only those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. It's so important, Lord, to be led by the Spirit of God. Father, if people here who have not experienced a relationship with you, I pray that they will live a life, a law of the Spirit of a life in Christ Jesus. They will have a relationship with you. They will speak with you. They will understand the heart of God through the Holy Spirit. They will walk in the ways, not as per the law of the letter of the pages, Lord, but of the newness of the Spirit, that the Bible will be alive to them, Lord. Oh, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Once again, I want to give you the praise. I want to give you the honor. Continue to teach us, Lord, your ways so that we can walk in your paths. And be gracious and merciful unto us. I cover all your people with the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, that there is power in your word. And even as your people receive the word, they will get healed if they have diseases and sickness and infirmities. Even as your people receive the word, they will be delivered, Lord, of the things that the devil was holding them in Jesus' mighty name. And the carnal mindset will be broken in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, once again. I cover all of us, Lord, all the families who were not, even those who were not able to make it. I cover all of us with the blood of Jesus Christ, and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Important announcement.